And when I say unusual, unless you're a Bible scholar, you may have never read this passage, but it's in the Bible. And it points to an important topic that we need to share, and I felt like homecoming might be that time to share such a message with you today. Because there are a lot of things going on in this world, and you're not going to be able to control everything, but you will be able to know that God is Lord. Amen. There's none beside Him. We're living in a very idolatrous age, which is what this passage is all about. And as I share it today, I think that we'll be able to relate to some of the things that's going on in the world and maybe even in our own lives so that we can pause and ask God to help us change directions. Amen. Judges chapter 18. Judges 18. And these went into Micah's home and took the carved image, the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image. Then the priest said, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Hold your peace. Lay your hand over your mouth. Go with us." And the priest, "Is it better for you to be a priest of the house of one man or to be the priest of a tribe and a family in Israel?" And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went in the midst of the people. So they turned and departed and put the little ones and cattle and carriages before them. And when they were a good way off from Micah's house, the men that were in the houses near Micah gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they cried to the children of Dan, and they turned to them and asked Micah, "What is the matter with you that you have come with such a great company?" And he said to them, "You have taken away my gods that I have made." Do you see a problem with that? Yes, sir. "You've taken away my gods that I have made and the priest, and you are gone away. And why are you asking what is the matter with you?" And the children of Dan replied, "Let your voice be heard among us no more, lest angry men run upon you, you lose your life along with the lives of your household." So the children of Dan went on their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went his way to his house. I just want to share a message today on this homecoming 2023. What happens when you lose your religion? Look at somebody, ask them, what happens when you lose your religion? You may be seated. Father, bless us now as only you can do, and help us to proclaim your truth. And Lord, while we are pondering this text, we're also recognizing that we live in an age where people are bowing down to anything, including themselves. So I pray you'd give us relevance, that we might preach the word, that it might be helpful, that it might guide us. More importantly, God, that it might direct us to you. We love and we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. This passage would be comical if it weren't for the fact that it's serious. It's serious. There are some things going on here between the children of Dan and this community that Micah lives in. And yet it's not unusual from the communities that you and I live in. We're in a world now where it's so confused, people don't know which way is up, much less how we should worship and who we should worship. There's a problem with that. When you don't know who God is, you'll settle with anything. And so it is that we find this making of an idol basically as chapter 17 in Judges goes, Micah was a young man and growing up in the territory of Ephraim. If you recall in the Bible, this man by the name of Joseph, he had two sons by the name of Manasseh was one and Ephraim was the other. And Jacob gave a double portion of the territories to that family, which would be divided into those tribes. Long story short, here is this guy in this tribe saying to himself, I don't know who God is, so I'm going to make one. Didn't consult with anybody. Didn't ask anybody, is this right? But as the comment is made throughout this book, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Does that sound familiar? You see, it's fairly typical when we don't know that we'll kind of resort to other means, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. But we need to be serious about what God is doing and not so much what we feel like we need to do. Let me repeat that. We need to be serious about what God is doing and not so much about what we feel we need to be doing. Are y'all in the building? Let's look at this thing about these stolen gods. First of all, you got Micah's disaster. He fashioned these gods. He made these molten images. And then when a Levite just happened to be traveling through town, he said, hey, why don't you come and be my priest? I'll pay you. And so as it turned out, he got these molten images, these teraphim that he's worshiping. And you got to put them in place. You got to make them. Any god you can make, somebody else can take. I just thought I'd throw that one in. Amen. If you can make a god, then that means that god can be taken by whomever. So you better think about, what are you making? What are you formulating in your mind? What are you conceiving in your ideology? What kind of philosophy do you have about life? I'll get into that in just a minute. So we got Micah's disaster. He had put everything in place, and the closing comment in chapter 17 of Judges, he says to himself, now I know God's going to bless me. Wait a minute, hold up, time out. He's got a God he's made, which is not the living God, and he's got a priest that he's hired that is not of the priesthood of Aaron, but a cousin to them. Yeah, I'm going to get into that in just a second. Because some of y'all think you got faith just because your grandma believed. Or maybe somebody else. Yeah, I got a cousin that's been called to preach. That don't mean a thing in your own life. Look at somebody, tell them you got to know them for yourself. And so as you come into chapter 18, here comes the Danite tribe, which is another tribe of Israel. They're different from Ephraim. They're called the Danites, the tribe of Dan, and they're coming through the territory because they're now trying to find a place of their own. You might say that they're scouting around. So they get wind of this thing that there's a priest over there and he's got some molten images. Maybe we ought to ask him for some direction. That's what they do. But not only do they ask for direction, they take the priest and the gods, and they leave. So Micah's disaster is, man, I don't have anything to worship. They've taken all my stuff that I had. He doesn't complain about anything else that might be missing from his house. He's so worried about his ideology, what he believes and how he believes, that he doesn't even take an inventory of maybe what else they took. Just worried about his God. You better be careful what you call important in your life. You better be careful what you say is real in your life. Because I'm here to tell you that if you lose everything and still got God, you still got everything. Are y'all going to pray? Micah's disaster was somebody walked off with his God. But I got to preach now. But how many know that can't nobody walk off with my God? Are y'all here? This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. I said I wasn't going there, but I gotta go there. This joy peace, this love, this truth. You can't steal it because the Lord gave it to me. Look at somebody and tell them, the Lord gave it to me. So here's the dilemma. Here's the dilemma. They walk off with Micah's God, and the problem is Micah's gods didn't keep him from getting robbed. Somehow or another, these folks should have thought about it and said, wait a minute, if this God didn't protect him, how in the world is it going to protect me? Copycat religion. Let me get what somebody else got. Let me shout like somebody else. Let me say, praise the Lord, like somebody else. Look at somebody telling you, you better get it for yourself. So the Danites, here they are going about their business, thinking that they have something that really won't work, but they got it anyway. Let me pause another time. Some of y'all got something and you think it's going to work. You better know whether it's going to work before the trial comes. In other words, you better know that the boat doesn't have any holes in it before you launch out to sea. Are y'all here? I'm not going to be long here because I know we got some other things going on, but I got to preach today. Look at somebody and say, what happens when you lose your religion? Look at them again and say, what happens when you lose your religion? We got to make sure that what we have is real. So this whole thing focuses around the making of an idol. How do you know it's an idol? How do you know whether or not it's real or not? Here are three things you need to do. Number one, when you stop following God's truth, you're on the path to idolatry. Let me show you how we do it. Well, here's the way I see it. This is my opinion. Touch somebody and say, you better get in the word. You better get in the word. Number two, not only when you stop following God's truth, but when you still think that you're right. Somebody said, folks will ruin relationships just to be right. Yeah, I'm going to get the last word. No, you ain't. God's going to get the last word. Why is it that we have to be right? Is it that important that you ruin somebody else just because you think you're right? That's another sermon for another Sunday, and you better believe I'm coming back there. Amen. You better believe I'm going to park right there, and I'm going to tell it like it is. I found out a couple of things. Number one, you can't convince a fool. And if you're trying to prove you're right to a fool, you're wasting your time. If they say the sky's red, you know what? Yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it. And then you walk off. Third thing, not only is it a situation where we stop following God's truth, we still think we're right, but then we still think we're going to be blessed. Micah was convinced that he was going to be blessed. Didn't take time to read the commandments that Moses had given, because now this is post-Moses. This is post-Ten Commandments. They knew what the commandments were, but were they doing it? No. People know they ought to go to church, but are they going? No. Now the old folks are coming back to church. The young folks have still got COVID. Yet you go to Walmart. You go to the club. You pay your numbers anytime you get ready. Still talking about COVID. I'm just saying. I love preaching. And yet people think that if they ignore God, somehow they're still going to be blessed. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not always that you're going to cross every T and dot every I. But you at least need to know how to pray for direction. Are y'all with me? Let me give you a couple of things, and I'm going to go on to my seat. Man-made religion. Here it is. Here's the heart of man-made religion. In those days, there was no king, so everybody did what they wanted. And the word that closer goes with this, or that should be associated with it, was magistrate, somebody who restrains them from doing what they want. In other words, there was lawlessness. Does that sound familiar of our age? Every time you hear about it, you think it's the Wild Wild West. Somebody done shot somebody. Somebody has committed an act of violence against somebody, rather than saying, wait a minute, that's somebody else's stuff. The Danites, they didn't take time to say, wait a minute, you know, let's at least ask permission, you know. Hey, we're going to take your stuff. That's what the government does, you know, when they get ready to take something, they'll declare it eminent domain, and they'll come in and take your stuff. We're going to take your stuff. Just to give you a head up. Are we saying the same thing in our day? And if everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes and still think they're right, then ladies and gentlemen, what we've just done is poured the mold for an idol. All it now takes is for you, is for time to come along, and you keep practicing that. Next thing you know, you've got idol worship. Give you a case in point. Matter of fact, let me go and jump into it. Our modern day idolatry is called consumerism. Oh, you didn't jump. Why do I say that? Now at the fingertips, you can get anything you want from anywhere you want, assuming that you got good credit. Anytime you want. You can order stuff and it'll be delivered right to your doorstep. Because now AI or the religion is consumerism, and artificial intelligence, it is the priest. When people used to pray and talk to each other, now they sit around the dinner table, everybody's head is... Oh, what you say? Now here's the thing. People say, well, you know, I'm not threatened by AI, but let me tell you, let me just ask you a question. Many of y'all got this iPhone, or you got what you call some artificial intelligence, or you got some electronic device that you look into. You got a whole lot of history into that device, right? And you say it's secure because you got a password. But when you keyed in your password, you told the folks who were keeping your password, this is my password. What if they get mad at you and decide they want to give your stuff to somebody else because they already got your password? Now, I'm not going to really jump on the bandwagon and get into the boogeyman of artificial intelligence, but I am going to tell you, don't put your life on your phone. Here's one even better. Don't get your life from your phone. You got an idol on your hand. If that takes more of your time than God does, God doesn't have a problem, you do. Amen. Getting ready to go somewhere. I ain't gonna stop and pray. Let me key in the directions into my GPS. Then I'll know which way I'm going. Instead of saying, Lord, keep me while I'm traveling. Amen. Do I have a witness? Amen. But I'm gonna tell you something even worse than that is that we have a culture, basically, that is saying to us today, whatever you want, you go on and do it. We've literally taken the Isley Brothers theme song and saying to ourselves, if you feel like doing it, you just go on and do it. I'm about ready to close because that's all y'all can probably stand to me. But I want us to draw some comparisons between the Danite culture and our own culture. Our culture is basically nobody has respect for anybody else. I want you to look at your neighbor, and this time I want you to be serious. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I owe you respect. I might not even like you, but I owe you respect. If you're sitting beside a spouse or loved one that you talked to this morning, then they'll know the deal, amen? I might be mad at you, but I still owe you respect. You know, our girl Aretha was right. What you want? You owe somebody respect. Respect them. Respect their person. The Danites were the type of people, the only thing that they cared about was where they were going and what they were doing. And sadly, we're in that age. Moving on. If you want it, just take it. Just take it. Don't ask. Don't ask permission. We often assume that because somebody leaves something somewhere, that's a gift. No, it ain't. I tried it. It didn't work. I'm going to tell y'all this story. Then I'm forever telling stories, but I'm going to tell y'all this story. This was Christmas time. This was Christmas time. And I was going on my way to the bank, and I saw a $100 bill. How'd I know it was a $100 bill? I got some good eyes. Saw a $100 bill just blowing over in the wind, and the thing caught in the bush. I stopped the vehicle right where I was at. People honking the horn, getting mad at me. I was like, I'm gonna get this money. Sure enough, I went over, grabbed the $100 bill from the, I said, man, I'm gonna have me a pretty decent Christmas. The Lord just letting the blessing fall out the sky. Before I could get finished with that thought, you know how it is when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. How many of y'all know the Holy Ghost would talk to you? And not only did the Lord tell me that that was somebody's money, he told me that's a senior citizen money. I wanted to look up and say, Lord, no, it ain't. Now I'm under conviction. I got $100 that I really want, but I know I got to do the right thing. So here's what I do, Jesse. Here's what I do. I go into the bank. I'm assuming that that $100 had something to do with the bank. I go in. I tell the lady, I said, I found this blowing in the wind. She said, let me see it. I said, oh, no. So I go in and I ask, I think this is somebody's money that they lost. Heartbroken. Lee, but I knew it was the right thing to do. The very minute that I said, this is somebody else's, I kid you not, an 88-year-old lady, how do I know? Because I asked her age. I wanted to verify what the Lord has said. An 88-year-old lady walks in, and she said, I was going to the bank for the lady that I take care of, and I lost $100. And then they came over, and they applauding and everything. I'm going, ain't nothing to applaud. But I gave it back, and I felt that I really had received a Christmas gift. Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. But we're in a generation now where people are not doing that. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. That's the culture that we're living in. Let me hurry on. Last thing. Live self-centered. If you want to be like the Danites, live self-centered. Not only did they take Micah's gods and his priests, they went into a community that was unsuspecting and just slaughtered the entire community. Didn't ask if it was right. Didn't say, hey, I'm going to give you all a few days to get out of here. No, no, no. They slaughtered the entire community because they felt like they were right. Sad story ends is that in 720 BC before Christ, in 720 BC, the Assyrians invaded that land, destroyed the Danites. And all during their history, they never did anything that was of value to their nation or to themselves because of these three factors. I see America running headlong into destruction because this is the theme song of a lot of people. But can you all tell me on this homecoming day, Pastor, we believe otherwise. Can you tell me and make a commitment today that you are going to live for the living God? Amen. That you will not form idols, but you will worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Amen. Not only is this a commandment of God, this is what I have on my heart. Why do you say that, preacher? Because when I had problems, I didn't have to go to a God. I went to Jesus. And I know him as a waymaker. I know him as a friend. Late in the midnight hour, when I felt like I was all alone and had to deal with my problem, no God that was made by hands helped me, but the God in heaven came and answered me. God told me he was going to make a way. God told me everything was going to be all right. God told me I'm going to keep you in your trouble. God told me I will never leave you nor forsake you. God told me that he would walk with me. God told me that he would bless me. God told me, and guess what, folks? I've made it this far because of what God has done for me. And guess what? You ain't got to steal him. All you got to do is ask for him. You don't have to grab him from somebody else. There's enough Jesus for everybody. There's enough Holy Ghost for everybody. There's enough power for everybody. Somebody said if you just call on the name, are y'all going to call him? Are you going to call him? What's his name? Jesus, what's his name? Here's the command. Here's the command. You don't have to have a three-step program. You don't have to have a 10-point program. All you need to do is these things. Love God and love others. Everything will be all right. If you got God in you, he's going to help you love. If you got God in you, he will direct your path. If you got God in you, he will keep you in your darkest hour. And guess what? Whatever God gives you, nobody can take away from you. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Come on, somebody. Can't nobody stand on your feet and say, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Nobody, come on, put your hand. Do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody. Oh, it's time to shout now. Do me. He's my friend. Oh, can't nobody. Come on, cry. Do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. What did he do for you? He picked me up, turned me around, picked me up, turned me around. He picked me up, turned me around. He's my friend. Oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. This homecoming Sunday. want to give the invitation while you remain standing. If there be one today without Christ, if you're online, I know you can't come in here, but you can come to Christ. If you're online, write to us at crossroadbc.com. We'd love to correspond with you. But if you're in here and you have felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. Jesus is Lord, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. And if you need him, he will bless you. He will save you. He will keep you. I can't tell you all that the Lord. As a matter of fact, they used to say, just try him for yourself. What if you're here today? It's a short walk down that aisle, but it'll be the most blessed walk that you'll have in your life, coming to Christ. So if you're here today, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Opportunity. Is there one? Everybody happy? Now you know that if you got God, you can't steal him. Amen? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen.